good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there, and we wish you a wonderful day. We know it will be blessed. It's a little strange this year, but it's still a blessed day, and we're so happy that you're joining us. We want to welcome Katie Dahl. Katie will be offering her musical talents to this worship service, and we're so delighted that she's here today. We want to welcome also our lay reader, Betty. And off camera today are Colin, our organist and pianist, and Bob, who's running the Mevo, and Diane, who's running our audio. So we're so grateful that they are here today to be with us in worship. And now let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
I thought about you today as I drove the highway straight down from North Bay toward the old canal, like I was tracing your lifeline from that cabin in 29 to the rusty old stop sign where you said farewell. You came in the season of the honeybees, heavy fruit on the cherry trees, your mother on her hands and knees on the bedroom floor, a midwife running up the muddy road all the way from Liberty Grove, same road that I drove when my boy was born. Now when the bells out over the bay all ringing out at the end of the day, I hear you. The wildwood girl, yeah, the wildwood girl. Growing up shadow of death's door, echo of the great war, clean cotton, dirt poor, stronger than the boys, yeah, you could pick 100 pails in one day. And when the evening came, you had songs and cardamom cake, simple joys. Now in the bells out over the bay, all ringing out at the end of the day, I hear you, the wildwood girl, yeah, the wildwood girl. In the times when I am kind, in my eyes so blue and blind, my sweet tooth, my worried mind, my voice, the black buckets and the yellow yarn, laid light on the broken barns, my good heart, my strong arms, my little boy. Now when the bells out over the bay, all ringing out at the end of the day, I hear you, the wildwood girl. Now when the bells out over the bay, ringing out at the end of the day, I hear you.
Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. Our reflection comes from Pastor Dan Olson. In normal times, after Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day is far and away the highest attended Sunday worship. It's a day of warm fuzzies. Children proudly give their homemade cards. There might be breakfast in bed, and a Mother's Day brunch might be on the agenda. These gestures, great and small, are evidence that we love and honor our mothers. Words that define motherhood would be nurturing, teaching, protecting, and encouraging. An image that comes to mind is of a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings. From our first breath, our mothers are intent that we be the best we can be. Mothers, I believe, exhibit the maternal instinct of our God. None less than Count von Zinzendorf said as much in 1741, when he recognizes the maternal side of the Holy Spirit, who comforts as a mother comforts a child. But there comes a time when our mother's care brings us to the threshold of our own futures. All along the way, we have been nurtured and equipped to be agents of love, peace, and health in all we do. But nothing ever guarantees life won't be messy and dangerous. We have glaring examples of mothers watching their children go into the most dangerous of situations. What's it like for a mother to see her adult child, trained as a physician or nurse or any other caregiving profession, go to the front lines of the COVID-19 war, not knowing if she will ever see them again? Yet these mothers let go with hands outstretched in love. Mothers everywhere can be encouraged by the sacrificial lives of two biblical mothers. Hannah's son, Samuel, meant all the world to her. Literally, the only hospice care for women in ancient times rested on having a son to care for them. Yet Hannah let Samuel go as Samuel took his lifetime position in the house of the Lord. She left him there for the Lord. Then we observe our Lord upon the cross, gazing down on his mother, Mary. What cacophony of emotion was in her heart, we'll never know. But she left him there for the Lord.
Would you join me as we sing For the Beauty of the Earth?
Grateful praise.
that point of service where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We have a few praise reports. Two members and friends of the church have told me that they are cancer-free, and we're so delighted to bring that word to you. We would like to remember those who are in need of our prayers. Marge and Jerry. Jerry is in the hospital, and Marge, of course, is quite concerned for him. So let's remember Marge and Jerry in our prayers. We want to remember a relative of one of our members who's undergoing tests. There's a fear that cancer has returned, so we ask for prayers for him. And in our family, as you know, we lost my sister-in-law to COVID-19. My husband's family has also reported now that one of his aunts, Aunt Janet, has tested positive for COVID-19. So we ask for prayers for Bob's family this day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you in grateful praise for your grace and your mercy which extends to us. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers, for those whom we can still call and thank, and for those who have gone on to the immediate presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We remember them today and give you thanks. We praise you for those who have found that they are cancer-free. We thank you for the health and strength that you have given to them. We give you praise. We give you praise for all those who have recovered from this dread disease. And we ask that you continue to sustain those who are struggling, like Bob's Aunt Janet. We ask that you would be with Marge and Jerry, that you would surround Jerry with your health and strength, and Marge with your tender care as she worries over her husband. We ask that you would be with Marilyn's relative as he undergoes tests for cancer. We ask that you would surround us with your grace, surround us with your mercy. We ask that you would be with our scientists and physicians and all of those who are racing to find a cure. And Lord, until that time, we are so grateful that we are in your hands, that you love us, that your concern over us is as a mother hen over her children. We give you thanks today, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 20 through 28. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazirite for all time. Her husband Elkanah said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." She left him there for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Is that time of year when it's hard to say what's being born again and what is dying? It's that time of year, brightest stars and the darkest days, woman heavy on a bed of straw, the cattle crying in the dark. Last night a white out snow, my love stacking wood, sparks in an iron stove, North Wisconsin. Everything we'll never know, gut full of fear and good, the blanket that my mother wove, the life we've chosen. Dark. I got a baby boy, I don't even know his name. He is sleeping here inside me. Tiny little baby boy, set to come with the springtime rain, set to stay for a little while beside me. It's that time of year when it's hard to say what's being born again and what is dying.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Most moms are very proud of their children, almost inordinately proud of them, and want everybody else to experience what they're experiencing. And especially in this modern time when we have Facebook and we have all sorts of ways to put our kids out there, and they're all so adorable. Now, when I was a child, we didn't have Facebook. Cameras were expensive, so there weren't that many pictures taken except on special occasions. But our parents still found ways to be proud of us. My mother was especially in tune with music, not that she could sing, not that she had any talent, but she wanted to pass it on to her kids. So every one of her children had to take an instrument. Mine was the clarinet. Fortunately, I was so bad at it that she didn't impose that on anybody else. However, when I was an adolescent, she decided to buy a small Hammond organ for the house. And since I was of that age, she figured I should take organ lessons. Skipped the piano altogether, went right to the Hammond organ. So I learned how to play chords with my left hand and plunk out a melody with the right. And I kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking the lessons until the inevitable day when company would come. And Mom would say, "Dawn's learned this piece and she's gonna play it for you." And I'd be like, "Mom!" But of course I dutifully sit down and plunk out the piece, mortified. Mothers like to do that. We want to give the gift of our children to other people. And so of course when I became a mother, I did the exact same thing. And so when my son started piano lessons, I made sure that he got some FaceTime in church doing the piano. Even when he started out, he'd do a little piece here and there. And so by the time we left my last church, he was 14 going on 15, and he declared to me, "This is the last time I'm playing in public." Well, I couldn't force him, but you know, we mothers have other things in our bag of tricks, not just saying you're gonna do it. So when he came to this church, our first service here, I said to him, "Well, I know you said that, but you know, your grandpa's coming to the installation, and he hasn't heard you play for a long time." So he said, "Oh, all right." So his postlude in my first Sunday here in this church, in this historic church with its magnificent music, was the Imperial Death March from Star Wars. And when somebody commented how much they enjoyed it, he said, "Yes, and it's the last time you're gonna hear me." Now, fortunately, he relented and he played some more. But we moms want to give our children as gifts to the rest of the world, whether the world is ready for them or not. And at some point, we do give our children back to the world, don't we, when they grow up? Now, some do that more reluctantly than others. Not me. My mantra has been, since my son has grown, "I love you, get out." But part of it is I want him to get out and experience life. I want him to have his own life. And I know that if I hold him too close, that I will stunt him emotionally. So I need to give him up. Now, I might have a little better, gentler way to do it, but anyone who knows me knows that would not happen. So my mantra is, "I love you, get out." Hannah was the extreme, because Hannah did not give her child up when most parents are really happy to give their children up. Hannah gave him up when he was a little boy and still cute. He might have been between the ages of 3 and 5 years old. She said, "I promised him to the Lord." And so she weaned her firstborn and she brought him to the temple to be raised by a man named Eli. Now you have to know something about Eli. He was not father of the year. He had two grown sons, and they were wretches. They were horrible excuses for human beings. They took their position of privilege and they abused it terribly. They are described in the Bible as utterly wicked. And this is who this woman entrusts her beautiful boy to. But she said, I've lent him to the Lord. She said, he's a gift to me. Samuel means God hears. And God had heard Hannah as she pleaded for a child. And then she gave that boy back. But she didn't give him back just to be a priest, because in those days, whoever ran the temple also ran the country. So she was giving him back to her people. She must have seen in that child something that could be used for the betterment of her country. And sure enough, Samuel grew up, not just tended by Eli, but hearing the voice of Almighty God. And Samuel became a good and righteous judge for his people Israel. Not only that, Samuel found the greatest king that Israel has ever named. When he was just a shepherd boy, Samuel found King David and gave him as a gift to his nation. You see, the gifts that God gives to us are meant to be given back. And when we say we give back a gift to God, what does God do with it? He showers it on our world. He gives it to the people in need. He dispenses those gifts with such grace and such power. I think of the great composer, Johann Sebastian Bach. Do you know what he inscribed in all his work? He inscribed the words, to God alone be the glory. Whether it was a secular piece or a church piece, it was all to the glory of God. What did God do with that work? Well, for centuries, we have been beneficiaries of that work. Because all that is done to God's glory is given back to God's people. And so you and I have been given such marvelous gifts. And what I want to say to you today is don't look at somebody else's gift and say, if only I had that, then I could give. You yourself are a gift from God. And whatever God has given you is to be given back to God, lent to God, so that he can disperse it to your world. It's a wondrous thing when we have been given this gift of life. How will you use your gift? How will you lend it to God so God can disperse it to a world that is in such need of inspiration, of guidance, of tender loving care, of beauty and joy? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the mothers who have given their children as gifts, for Hannah who gave her son as a gift to her countrymen. And I ask, Lord, as we give the gifts of ourselves this day, that you will use them exponentially to speed relief to those who are oppressed, to bring joy and comfort to this world. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the name of Jesus, amen.
The song is good for singing along at home or here.
by my window on a cold and cloudy day. When I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother.